This is no time for a child to be born. With the earth betrayed by war and hate, and a comet slashing the sky to warn, time runs out, the sun burns late. That was no time for a child to be born in a land in the grip of the crush of Rome. Honor and truth trampled by scorn. Yet here did the Savior make a home. When is the time for love to be born? The inn is full on planet Earth. But love still takes the risk of birth. Madeline L'Engle wrote that in 1973. We are approaching the longest day or the longest night of the year. And we may be feeling that time is running out. We have lost loved ones. We are watching loved ones near the end of their days. Our children struggle. Suicides in our community have shaken us. We worry about nuclear confrontation, fires, global warming, economic hardship, racial hatred, cancer, crumbling institutions. It feels like the bottom has fallen out. This world is topsy-turvy, as George Orwell wrote in 1984, lies are truth. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength. This is no time for a child to be born. That was no time for a child to be born. There was teenage Mary, probably about 13 years old. And far from the meek and mild Mary we sing in our Christmas carols, or even the elegantly blue-robed, white-skinned Mary that we have in our Renaissance art, this Mary was young, a dark-skinned peasant, born in a time and a place with very little personal choice, unable to read and write. She probably began working as soon as she could walk, carrying water, and filled with a daily routine of domestic chores. Her life during the time of Galilee, during Roman occupation, was a time of revolts, uprisings, and Roman military might. Yet in the turmoil of her time, Mary said yes. Mary said yes to God. Her yes is the ultimate example of trusting what she cannot control, from the pregnancy, the birth away from home, through exile with her infant and husband in Egypt, through the life and death of her son. She trusted that God was at work in her and in the world. She said yes and trusted what she could not control. I told Greg last night, I realized the tenor of this sermon was so solemn, I had to go online and find a Mary joke. So here it is. There's a cartoon with a caption that says, "It's not easy to be the mother of Jesus." And Mary is reading a handwritten note that says, "Dear Mom, gone into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. Don't worry, XO." Okay. I have been rereading Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. His purpose in writing this book about life in a Nazi concentration camp was to show by concrete example that life holds potential meaning under any conditions, even the most miserable ones. He wrote that forces beyond your control can take away everything you possess except one thing. That is your freedom to decide how you will respond. You can't control what happens to you in life, but you can always control what you feel and do about what happens to you. And he quotes Friedrich Nietzsche, "He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how." Mary knew her why. Mary knew love. She trusted the why in her life in God. She had to continually figure out what God was doing through her and through the people and the events in her time. She looked for the word of God. She listened. She pondered. She acted upon it. And Mary sings that God can turn the world upside down. The last are first, and the first are last. Those who save their life will lose it, and those who give their lives will save it. Those who mourn will rejoice. Those who laugh will cry. The mighty are cast down from their thrones, and the lowly are lifted up. More than most, Mary suffered loss and suffering, but she trusted that nothing is impossible with God. She sang that God rescues life from death, joy from sorrow, and light from darkness. When my first son was born, I was given many cards, but the one that I remember most is that it said, "To have a child means to forever have your heart walking around outside your body." We realize with the adoption or birth of a child, or with any love we have in our lives, there are times when we simply cannot control what happens, right? When we love greatly, we always risk loss and pain. And that's true whether we are loving a mate, a parent, a child, or a planet. Mary inspires us to center our lives in the why of God. Center our lives in love, and then we can endure whatever happens. Mary shows us that when the powers that be are most oppressive, when life appears most bleak, that's when we go deep. We go deep in our spirit. We love. We let our soul shine through. We say yes to God. And then we open ourselves to what unfolds next. Clarissa Pinkola Estes, a recognized scholar and a cantadora, keeper of the old stories in the Latina tradition. Estes also ministers in fields of childbearing loss and surviving families of murder victims. She served for 3 years in the community after the Columbine shooting, and she works with survivors of 9/11 with families on both coasts. She wrote some words that make me think of Mary's strength and clarity. This is a long quote, but bear with me. "My friends, do not lose heart. We were made for these times. I have heard from so many recently who are deeply and properly bewildered. They are concerned about the state of affairs in our world now. Ours is a time of almost daily astonishment and often righteous rage over the latest degradations of what matters most to civilized, visionary people. Do not lose hope, most particularly because the fact is, we were made for these times. Yes, for years we have been learning, practicing, been in training for, and just waiting to meet on this exact plane of engagement. In any dark time, there is a tendency to veer towards fainting over how much is wrong or unmended in the world. Don't focus on that. There is a tendency to fall into being weakened by dwelling on what is outside your reach, by what you cannot yet be. Do not focus there. We are needed. We are needed. That is all we know. And though we meet resistance, we more so will meet great souls who will hail us. And we will know when they appear. Didn't you say you were a believer? Didn't you ask for grace? Don't you remember that to be in grace means to submit to a voice greater? Ours is not the task of fixing the entire world all at once, but of stretching out to mend the part of the world that is in our reach. So, any small calming one thing that we can do to help another, to assist some portion of the suffering world, will help immensely. We know that it does not take everyone on earth to bring justice and peace, but only a small, determined group who will not give up after the first or the second or the 100th gale. One of the most calming and powerful actions you can do is to intervene in the stormy world by standing up and showing your soul. Showing your soul. Soul on deck shines like gold in dark times. To display the lantern of the soul is to be fierce and to show mercy towards others. Both are acts of immense courage and greatest necessity. Struggling souls find light from other souls who are fully lit and willing to show it. If you would help to calm the tumult, this is one of the strongest things you can do. Show your soul. We were made for this time. How can you stand up and show your soul? How do we display the lantern of the soul together as a community? What light shines for you? How do we say yes to God in this season? My soul gives glory to my God. My heart pours forth its praise.